Hello everyone and congratulations! You made it to the end of yet another busy week. For all the educators out there, if you're from international schools or here in the UK, a big shout out to you if your students collected their GCSE results this week. If you're in the States and already back into the swing of things, congratulations and keep going. The EdTech podcast is excited to see how the Open Educational Resources movement, Go Open, progresses. For almost nearly everyone else, whether you're in Russia, China or Mexico, UK or international schools, good luck if you're back to school next week. This episode is dedicated to you and to the spirit of lifelong learning. If you're not a teacher, you should also keep listening. This episode with Obi Matin, second in Department of English at All Girls Church of England School, St Martin in the Fields in Brixton, London, provides an important reminder of a teacher's perspective outside of any EdTech considerations. What do a teacher's key dates look like? What stresses are they under? How does a school culture affect teaching methods? In addition, Obi is like a female Tim Ferriss in the sense that she is a prolific lifelong learner, delving into Chinese calligraphy, script writing and the Greek language. Inspiring stuff for anyone looking to optimise their time on planet Earth. A few final things before we jump into this week. Thanks to everyone who has signed up to the EdTech podcast launch party. Over 80 people are now registered, including Teacher Toolkit, ICT Evangelist, the Universities of Loughborough, Southampton and London, the Association of Colleges, Teach First, Department for International Trade, EdTech Exchange, Clearly So Investment, EdTechX, BET, Joe Dale and Heres, to name a few. Some exciting news on the venue hopefully to be announced this week coming. A super exciting announcement on the partnership front. First up, the EdTech podcast and Innovate My School, the education showcase platform with 20,000 subscribers and over 100 UK and international events, are collaborating in a strategic partnership. The EdTech podcast will be published to Innovate My School, whilst Innovate My School sponsors will get discounted rates for the EdTech podcast adverts and takeover series. Check them out at www.innovatemyschool.com. Secondly, after one of the sweatiest joint meetings of my life this week during the UK heatwave, the EdTech podcast will also be partnering with UK Edu Weekly to distribute the podcast. UK Edu Weekly deliver a 50,000 bi-weekly print run aimed at the multitude of independent schools in China. I'm delighted to welcome both partners who will be at the launch party and who are helping to share your stories and best practice with the widest audience possible. For UK Edu Weekly, you can check those guys out at ukeduweekly.com. Now, less waffling and more action. Please bear in mind this recording was outside with some Brixton Street noise in the mix. Sit up at the front, we're back to school. So today is very hot, it's over 30 degrees and I'm sat in the Ritzy Cinema Cafe in Brixton and I'm here with Obi Matin.
Yeah, that's right.
Excellent. Who I met at a Women Ed event and then subsequently we bumped into each other again at Teach Meet London Boat, and it felt like, you know, this is happening too often.
We should.
It was time to meet and time to get the story down on the podcast. So, I actually don't know that much about you. So this is going to be a very authentic interview. And thank you very much for coming in, you know, during your summer holidays, which is a very precious time. So just to kick off, could you let our listeners know who you are, what you do and where you do that?
Well, okay, my name's Obi and I teach in Brixton, so in this area, teach in a local secondary girls' school, and I'm a secondary English teacher.
Okay, fantastic. And what type of school is it and what age students do you teach?
So I teach the full range from 11 to 18. It's a girls' school, it's a Church of England school, it's a state school, and it's a reflection of the South London and Brixton demographics.
So when we kind of set up this podcast, you mentioned that you had some lessons on or thoughts on, you know, the back to school phase, and obviously we're sat here, it's glorious sunshine. Yeah. I'm sure that can be quite a tough time, but also a time of opportunity. Well, what are your thoughts for those listening who are thinking about that time and going back to school?
well, you look around in the shops and it's back to school, and it's a lot of, it seems like a very fun time for kids to go back to school, new backpack, new shoes. And for teachers, as much as you might love your job, I think there's that slight anxiety and dread that it's a, you know, the beginning of another school year. And you know, the job of being a teacher is such a complicated job that you work throughout the whole year, and we're working during half term breaks, but I think it's the summer holidays is when you really get a break. And yes, you're still thinking about work, but you're working at your own schedule, and then bang, you're going back to work.
I can totally relate to that as well, because my mother was a special educational needs teacher, and you'd get towards the end of that summer period and she'd just become increasingly more irrational from my perspective. But you know, it's a stressful time. Do you have any kind of recommendations for those who are facing going back to school, who are now listening to this and probably into the run of things?
Yeah, it's about taking a positive approach, because it's always the beginning that's the tricky phase of, you know, any new beginning. And even though this might be your first year as an NQT, or your 10th year, or even your 25th year as a teacher, it's you know, the old saying about teachers, it's about the preparation that you do. So you know, thinking about going back to school, you know, the first thing, it's about that mindset, about thinking about looking at your timetable, looking at the year that you have ahead, and you know finding strategies which will make your year and the joy of teaching come back to you. Because it's the anxiety of having that time away from school, which you enjoy so much. And I mean, it's really not explainable in words to capture, you know, the freedom that teachers have during the summer holidays. But it's to ease yourself back. I mean, I started to ease myself back into the work mindset about 2 weeks ago, doing little things, looking at my timetable, looking at the school calendar, looking at my classes, just organizing myself a little bit so that each week that dread wasn't there, you know, so that when it comes to going back to school next week, I'm already there. So I've already made that transition. And I feel that that's really helped me in the past.
From a teacher's perspective, what are the big calendar considerations between now and, say, the end of the year, if you break it down to that period of time?
So, I mean, we can even start from tomorrow, because tomorrow is the day of the GCSE English results, or GCSE results for all subjects. So in a way, that will shape the thoughts and feelings for many teachers when they go back to school. So in a way, that would determine, you know, how teachers feel about the year that's just gone past. And what they'll be needing to do for the year ahead, you know, new targets, new ways, new approaches. So in a way, that's probably the first thing. So the GCSE results, and there are a range of, you know, key dates in the school. So all schools will be looking at their promotion of, you know, recruiting for the new academic year. And I think that's one thing that, you know, a lot of people, non-teachers and even teachers before they start their career, don't realise about how important that part of the job is, that you actually have to promote your school and market your school, and that you just never equate that sort of side of that world of advertising and being a bit business minded and marketing.
Does that come down to the subject leader level as well?
It's a whole school project and initiative for it to work effectively. So, you know, it works from, you know, it's like a little building block. So each department's promoting their subject. If you're a core subject, there's a greater emphasis on your subject, because, you know, parents at the end of the day want to know that it's the literacy and the numeracy and the science and the core subjects that are, you know, that they're, this the school that they will send their child to has an excellent reputation in those subjects.
And how do you go about helping to promote sort of that marketing side of things?
Well, I think first of all, for subjects, it's all about getting the enthusiasm of your subject. So, you know, I've always been a lover of my subject, and it's inspiring young children when they come into the school, and just making them think about how, you know, we have creative and interesting ways about, you know, so they're making the transition to secondary school, and that for an 11-year-old is quite a, you know, in fact, a 10-year-old when they're making that decision is quite a challenge for them. It's a big step for them to make. So they might have the idea that a secondary school, that, you know, it's a lot of writing, it's a lot of big books, new words, and for them to have just recognise that actually it's a transition, and it's not too different from what they would have done at primary school. It's just building blocks to move forward.
And so, obviously, you mentioned before the GCSE results coming out tomorrow. How are you feeling about that? Does that make you nervous? Do you get the kind of same butterflies that your students will be having?
Oh, well, for this academic year, I didn't have any GCSE students. Oh, so this time next year, yes.
Yeah.
But I know last week when the A-level results came out, that was, you know, you had... I've got to say, when every time it's results day or results night, I feel the same worries that I had when I was opening my own brown envelope, you know, because you've worked with those students for so long and, you know, you've worked so hard with them and they've put in so much hard work and, you know, at the end of the day, they were just in that exam room and, you know, you don't know what's happened and they're really keen. They've got bright futures ahead of them. So, yeah, no, exam results day, even when it's not my own students, you know, I would have taught many of those students and, you know, I'm excited to find out the students have done really well and, you know, that they're going to be moving on to bigger and better things.
And in terms of passion and your passions, obviously you were at Women Ed and there's a, you know, that's a really interesting and important movement to kind of get more female leaders into positions of leadership within the school system. What else are you passionate about?
Oh, it's an interesting question. In terms of my job?
I think, go for the whole shebang.
No, I'm really just, I'm interested in finding ways for students to see learning as a lifelong journey. More than not, it's not just the, you know, 16 to 17 years of school and grades. You know, yes, that we live in a world and we live in a society where it's competitive and you do need the grades. But I want students to feel that love, that, you know, once school is finished, that love of learning is still there. And we have lots of students that, you know, they take our subject, they take my subject, English, as a subject for A level, but maybe they're doing sciences or more technology subjects. And, you know, that love of learning and reading, you know, is something if that can stay with you after you finish school. And, you know, that's just a lovely habit to have, you know, that you just become, you know, English opens up so many ways of thinking about the world. And it's that pleasure when I see students again and, you know, they've finished with English at school. Maybe they even finished with that at GCSE and they just say, you know what, Miss, remember that writer that we studied? I heard about them or I went to see them or I saw the play version. And it's just, you know, something that they didn't let go of and it was always there. So I think that's always a bit of excitement knowing that you know, they didn't close the door, that door wasn't closed for them when they finished your classroom.
Do you know, I love hearing that because I remember exactly all reading out loud The Handmaid's Tale at high school and absolutely loving it and King Lear, and then I went on to study English literature at university and yeah, and it does open loads of doors because you look at all of those different subjects, whether it's politics or different cultures around the world through literature. Yeah. It's fantastic.
It's, I mean, this is it. I mean, it's, I am biased. I'm an English teacher. You know, I spent many years studying English. But it's multidimensional.
So. And which are the ways that engage students that you're working with now to get into English? Obviously, we've just had the kind of celebration around Shakespeare and that kind of thing. Are there different ways you go about that, or do you kind of go quite traditional in terms of how you deliver the lessons?
I think it's a mixture of, you know, we can't always say, oh, you know, tradition is a bad thing. Yes, we're in, you know, it's 2016, but I actually teach in quite a traditional school. You know, we have a very traditional uniform and a traditional way of implementing some things in schools, but we also have very contemporary and up-to-date ways of doing things. So, in fact, we just recently had, before we closed for the summer, we had a Shakespeare festival to celebrate the 400th birthday of Shakespeare, and our school became a Shakespearean-style open-air celebration, and we had farm animals. I mean, this is a secondary school.
Wow.
We had various, you know, performances, lots of activities, which, you know, this was on a Saturday, so this, you know, took away that Shakespeare was something that you had to do in class where you were reading from the page, and, you know, gave it that extra element and, you know, brought it back to life. And then every year we always try to celebrate something like World Book Day, Shakespeare's birthday, Dickens's birthday. You know, teachers always dress up in a favorite character. You know, we're trying to just promote, you know, the love of learning and the love of reading for young girls.
And in terms of your own lifelong learning, what have you kind of found has engaged you?
Sorry, we'll let that ambulance pass.
There goes the ambulance. And we're off. Do you kind of dip into, I don't know, watching TED videos or...
Yeah, I mean, it's a funny thing because I kind of feel, you know, I've not known if it was teaching my vocation or was it because I just love learning. And I wanted to be in that environment. But, yeah, I mean, TED Talks and TED Learning. I've tried to make it a habit over the summer holidays to, you know, listen to a TED Talk every other day, to listen to an inspiring talk. Because, you know, it can be about technology, it can be about engineering, about entertainment. You know, TED Talks are something I really try to promote with students. I mean, before I was a teacher, I was an adult education junkie. You know, I think I signed up for, like, I did about 17 courses after uni, from Tai Chi to Spanish to Alexander Technique, just because I really loved that side of mastering and just you know, learning something that you don't know. In fact, I was over the holidays, I've been taking part in a community script writing course in Brick Lane, and you know, it took me a long time to actually not to say that I was an English teacher, because I knew once I said that I was no longer the role of the student, and I had to be a lot more involved from the teacher, you know, the teacher's side, which I didn't want, you know, because when you teach for so many days of the year, you know, it's a different feeling when you're the student and you're the learner.
And is that a script writing for film or for television?
No, it's actually a script for us, for theatre.
That's wonderful. I'm the same. It sounds like you've been far better actually completing those courses. I'm a bit of a junkie. I see the title of the MOOCs or the different, you know, learning courses. I'm like, right, that's it. Sign up.
Yeah, yeah.
And the problem is like scheduling it in your life, isn't it?
Making sure you commit. Last year I actually won on the topic of lifelong learning. I won the ESU scholarship to study in the States, and I think and the program was all about lifelong learning. So I feel that it did open a door up for me. I mean, I just wanted to learn for the sake of learning. And I remember teaching myself Greek and Latin and German on my own when I was at school. You know, nothing came of it, but I think it was more the skill of just getting books out of the library and you know, doing your best to learn.
You know, I'm looking at you like, I just don't know what to say next.
So I never mastered any of those.
Amazing, amazing. And obviously, English teacher, English subject leader. Favourite books?
Oh, I get asked that all
the time. It's the most boring question. You're allowed a whole raft if you don't want one.
It's so difficult to say a favourite book, because every genre, there's a favourite book in every category. And then I start to think, actually, is there a favourite book, or I just love all books? So
do you have a word? Have you read a book once where you're just like, I'm not even going to finish this, a terrible...
I have had that. I have had that, but I've told myself now, you know, even when I tell this to the kids, you've got to give a book at least the first 50 pages before you can make any decision. But I mean, I'm just actually in my bag right now. I'm actually reading Harper Lee's second book. So that obviously brought back a lot of memories. And I never actually taught To Kill a Mockingbird, but I remember having studied it. And I think that's when my love of learning, of reading books, started. And I suppose, you know, to sound like a cliche of a typical English teacher, it was To Kill a Mockingbird. It will always have a special place in my heart, and I suppose I'm grateful that I've never taught it, because it always will have that place, special place.
Once you've read it like 300 times,
absolutely.
So going back to teaching, are there any apps or social media platforms, books, mentors, people that you'd like to shout out, podcasts that you found have helped you in that side of things?
I mean, I'm one of those people that's in and out of the social media world of education. I really admire those who can, you know, who are able to invest so much time, because they're investing time to give back to the teaching community. It did start for me with Teacher Toolkit, and being, you know, inspired by the sharing of his ideas and bringing people together. And I mean, it was from that I started attending, you know, teach meets. I know I don't even know many colleagues myself who even know that much about teach meets. Mm. And it's just an incredible movement of, you know, unconferences and the approach to developing yourself. And then from that, you know, I would have to be a shout out to Women's Ed, because I remember the beginnings of that, and how and what it's, you know, grown into today, and how, you know, female teachers are, you know, working together collaboratively and helping each other. So I think that, you know, it's the two big guns that I have to give a shout out to.
So other questions. English subject leader, what state is that subject in currently? So we talked earlier about, you know, core subjects, obviously huge emphasis at the moment on STEM. Yeah. How do we keep the A in, you know, make it STEAM, keep the arts relevant, that kind of thing? If you'd like to just solve that problem in a 30-second answer, that'd be fantastic.
We're always, as teachers and as practitioners, we're always going to be surrounded by changes by the government, bureaucracy, And it comes down to the individual teacher and how they're going to deliver that. I mean, at the end of the day, I find that what happens in each lesson with me and my students is what I can only really, I have control over and power over. So, you know, this time next year, you know, will be the outcome of the new GCSE English reform, you know. So these students will be the students who have left with, not with grades, but with numbers. These will be the students that are GCSE students who have taken, you know, they've taken summative final exams at the end of the 2 years. So, you know, that's going to be an interesting day because, you know, as teachers, we're teaching 19th century texts. Exam papers are now, there's just one set paper for students, and students need extra support. It's wrong to say that students have the same ability. So it will, you know, it's creative ways in the classroom, you know, making our texts engaging for students. If we can, I just always think that if we can find a way to make each student connect with the text, with one idea, one character, a few lines, something, and then, you know, you've got something to work on, and they'll really respond well to it.
For yourself, what was your own education like, and how does that differ to today, or does it?
It's funny when you talk about your own education because, you know, I look back at my own school days and I think, were my teachers doing all the same things that I was doing? You know, it's like on the other side, you just think, well, you know, you were just one face in the sea of students, you know, and the planning that we do.
I thought it was special.
Yeah, you know, but here today, our approach is very personalised. You know, we've got a plan, intervention strategies for each student. You know, I feel that I'm sure the teachers, you know, it was the same issues then, same approach to planning, but. I mean, I went to a very different school, even though it was not that far from here. I went to a mixed school. I think that was a big difference. You know, teaching in a girls' school is a very different experience. But I, you know, I had good teachers, and you had a lot of time. You know, free thinking was allowed. So I think that was the one thing, is you could think about ideas and ask questions. And I think it's having that arena and that platform that really it's where sort of the magic is for students.
You know, you've learned Greek, you've taught yourself Latin, you're doing the script writing, you're watching TED videos every other day. What's next for you? What's the big plan?
Well, I think the plan is just to keep going. You know, it's you know, I like the hobbies that I've got for myself. And actually, sometimes I just think, well, actually, maybe you just want to sit back and you know, file my nails or something.
I just can't imagine that. Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, the list is minute and it's huge at the same time. So I don't know. I'm actually thinking of cutting down and. Just maybe finding something completely different.
Just finally, just to wrap up, so any last messages for people listening in? You've got everyone from teachers, people in higher education, further education, investors, startups, all the whole raft.
The first thing is, first of all, I would say, you know what, go sign up for a course, sign up for something. You know, it's a I've always counted myself lucky as being a teacher, because I feel like, you know, it's a bit like New Year's resolution, start again. You know, it's a fresh start again, and if it doesn't work if it doesn't work now, I've got January again to start again. So I just think, you know, go to your local college, pick a course. You know, I would like to give a shout out to City Lit, actually, where I was there for a few days over the holidays learning Chinese calligraphy, just because I thought, why not? Just because I can. And I just, you know, just pick something. It can be within the next year, but pick something you wouldn't do and sign up for it, book the course. You know, life gets in the way all the time, and you know, it's just the process of going into a class and being the student and learning something completely different that just, you know, sharpens the brain, makes you see things from a very different way, and then it's the other students that you see in the class, and it's just the experience of it. So I think that would be my thing for our listeners.
That's amazing. Well, thank you so much, and hope you enjoy the rest of your holidays.
Oh, thank you, it's a pleasure.
Thanks everyone for listening. If you enjoy the podcast and think someone else would too, don't forget to recommend it to your pals and send your feedback to theedtechpodcast@gmail.com or via Twitter @podcastedtech. I'm looking into setting up a voicemail option so you can leave feedback to be played out each week. Have a fantastic week, and love, courage and energy to you all.